We're here with Gene Boldick, the host of the Weekend Water Cooler, and it is time for a thing, not a thing, that game show, everyone's favorite, where we talk about all of the crazy stuff that's happened throughout the week that's gotten people upset on social media, and we ask the question, is this a thing or is it not really a thing?
You know, it does sound like a lead-in for, you know, I halfway expect Dan Rather to come right on the air right after I hear those horns.
Thing, it's so, not a thing.
It really elevates it to a level where it probably doesn't belong.
But our expert panel discusses.
Yeah. Our expert panel, that's right.
There we go.
Years of scholarship.
First thing, and we kind of led the hour with this, so let me bring it back so we can start to close the hour with it. Undercover police officers sort of milling amongst the protesters at Silent Sam, and apparently not only not telling the protesters that they were police, but also kind of making up a story about who they were and then getting called on it later. Thing or not a thing?
It's a thing.
You think it's a thing?
It's okay. A thing because, you know, as a journalist, when you're getting your training in journalism, you come to understand that one of the most important things that you do is to properly identify yourself before interviewing anyone. For example, you say, you know, hi, I work for Aaron Keck at WCHL. I'm sure you're terrified right now, but, you know, it's...
I'd just be excited to have employees.
It's an important issue of the integrity of your job, and for people to respect the work that you're doing, you need to be perfectly clear about what you're doing. Now, on rare occasions, and only with supervisory approval, you can get approval as a journalist to go undercover. Mm-hmm. If you're trying to penetrate, for example, the Ku Klux Klan,
right,
as was done years ago in Tabor City, the Tabor City Tribune did this and got a Pulitzer for it, which is on display at the Journalism School of Carolina. That was very important work, but no individual journalist just decided to do that on their own. This was a decision that the newspaper made, and you have to take it through a process of scrutiny so that later on you can be accountable for why you did that.
Mm.
And I think this is a similar thing. I think that if you're going to be not forthright with the population that you're employed to protect, I think that could be justified, but so far we haven't really heard that justification.
Right.
We've heard what feels a lot like spin about why we did it. And, that's right. We did it because we were protecting you. You're welcome, by the way. And, that's right. It was for public safety. And, that's right. It was for this and that and the other. That just doesn't seem credible to me.
And this is the argument that I made at the very beginning of the hour, is that UNC releases the statement, and they did it yesterday, saying we were concerned about the possibility of violence breaking out with no specificity on that, and we're here to protect the students. My argument reading that statement is it seems to me that the only reason that UNC police would want to deceive the student protesters or mislead them or give them a false story is if they were concerned that the students or the protesters at Silent Sam would get violent. Now, we got a call from a listener who will remain nameless by his own request, but it was a good point that he made on the phone. We were talking with him during a break, and he said, well, they might have a reason to think that. There is a history of, you know, protests on campus being sort of infiltrated by outside agitators or inside agitators at UNC who might want to get violent. And my response to that is, okay, if that's the reason, then that's fine. Say it out loud. The police department should say it out loud.
It's almost impossible for me to believe that you couldn't go back through the history of a university as tremendous as UNC and find some history of an incident going way or that. Okay. That's all fine.
Yeah, and as a police department, you got to be aware of that and cognizant
and,
of it and respond.
And if the police department tells me it would have been true, I'll put it this way, if the university police department had told me that they had received some tips that they can't make public, that had given them that they considered to be credible intelligence, that led them to believe that violence was a possibility without attributing it to anybody in particular. Their credibility's on the line here. It's not just a matter of, you know, who, how can you lock up somebody and throw away the key and prove something? It's a question of their process and how are they doing that job? How are they approaching that mission of that public safety?
Yeah.
It feels an awful lot to me, and I, just to be perfectly clear, this is just pure speculation on my part. It feels to me, though, that they might have thought that there would be a certain demographic arriving at that, relishing the opportunity to mix it up with students and community protesters.
Yeah. And they have had some people who want this statue taken down.
And there have been people who have shown up and said, you know, leave Sam alone, he's a hero and whatever.
Mm-hmm. There have been heated conversations.
And maybe they had some idea that if that kind of group materialized, that they'd like to infiltrate that group.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that they would be telling us that right now if that were the case. But I think that there is a public relations arm of the journalism school. Maybe they can get some better expert advice about how to explain that you had your reasons for doing this and that while you can't make them public just now, that there will be an after action review and that this will eventually become public. Because the fact is, these are public servants. What they do needs to become transparent to the community. And they need to be prepared for explaining what they've done and why they did it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to turn out that they didn't have a great reason for doing this.
Second thing, and this will be our last one, the thing that everyone's talking about this week is allegations of sexual harassment and worse against a variety of celebrities, public figures, business leaders, and in the case of Roy Moore now, formerly elected and prospective future elected officials.
Well,
this is obviously a thing, but
here's the thing that I think is a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Even the Republican members of the Senate who have been sadly out to lunch on this issue in the past certainly didn't have a whole lot to say about it that was of any forceful value last year at this time. All of a sudden they're saying, well, if this is true, oh my goodness, this is the most horrible thing I ever heard of. And he should definitely step away and step down and not withdraw from his candidacy. Well, they say if it's proven true, well, it's not going to be proven true, and they know that. They're lawyers, for one thing. So they know that a 1979 allegation by a person who was 14 years old at the time.
We're talking about getting a conviction in a court of law, what we're saying.
Or even a civil judgment. You're not going to get it. And none of this is about that. There are four women who are now in their 50s who around that time are alleging that he's behaved improperly. And in the case of the woman who was 14 at the time is alleging that he committed a crime. She's not going to prove that. She's not suggesting that she'd be able to prove that. She's saying what she's saying on the record, and she's saying it for whatever her reason is for saying it. But this is very related, Aaron, because this is about the credibility of a person who is in public life, who has had a position of significant responsibility on the Supreme Court in the state of Alabama, and was kicked off that job, by the way, and is now seeking a Senate seat. The people have a right to know this and can judge who they believe, these four women, who I believe, for the record, versus this guy who looks to me like this is completely credible that he would behave in this way. I have exactly no trouble believing this.
Yeah.
So it's public credibility, even though the sitting president has tried to wrap it up, put a bow on it, and throw it overboard as part of public life, it does still matter. And I think it's really interesting that the response on the part of Republican senators was almost to a person completely intolerant with that if it's true, caveat.
It's true.
And I think that's going to last.
With a couple of exceptions.
I think that's going to last maybe one or two days,
yeah.
And then that's going to go away.
And then that's going to go away. No, I think
they didn't
you're right.
want him in the first place.
Yeah. The two exceptions, I think, that are most prominent, John McCain did not qualify it, said go away.
Yeah.
And then Mitt Romney, who issued the statement today, very explicitly said, I believe the women. Very explicitly said that.
Right.
Good for him. Let me ask you this, because this is the difficult question for progressives now, because as soon as this gets raised and allegations made against,
right.
and the same thing happened last year when the same allegations were made against Donald Trump, but the immediate comeback from conservatives is, what about Bill Clinton?
So what about him?
Let me ask you this. Did progressives get it wrong in the 90s when those allegations were made against
with regard
Clinton?
To people like not Paula Jones, because I don't, well, maybe
right.
Paula Jones.
Paula
maybe
Jones.
Paula Jones.
Juanita Broderick.
And Kathleen Willey, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Did they get it wrong? From looking at it from today, they should have been looked at more closely.
Mm-hmm.
They should have been given more respect and more credibility at the outset. But it's important to keep in context. This goes to judging the women in any of these cases that are many years old, too.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you coming forward now? Well, I'm coming forward now because people are believing women now.
Yeah.
I had someone put his hands on me in a very unwelcome fashion when I was a teenager, held me down, did things that he shouldn't have. I didn't report that to anybody at the time. It's very difficult. It's extremely personal. It's shaming. And it's easy, very, very easy for me to understand why women don't come forward. And these women, you know, I guess I can just say about the women that came forward saying these things about Bill Clinton, A, they did seem to have political motives, and B, I don't trust how I learned about their possible political motives.
Mm.
So I think that's in the gray area right now, now, this minute.
Who's on the water cooler this weekend?
Who's on the water cooler this weekend? Oh, what a refreshing thought. The water cooler. This weekend we have Blada, or Desagus Johnson. He goes by Blada, to talk about Haitian recycling.
Awesome.
His passion.
Check it out. Sunday at
1 o'clock?
Sunday at 1 o'clock. Absolutely. Gene Bullock, thank you so much.
Thank you.